Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hello. Buenos dias. Welcome to Born Offside. There's no Olantecas on the couch today. In fact, it's been replaced. Some would say upgraded. It's been a great change off the bench. Now, we wish Alan all the best in his recovery. He got Achilles injury. Yeah. Finally has been fixed up. So hopefully we'll see the big fella back out on the pitch soon enough. Kicking off with Kat joins me. Is that even your name anymore? Do I introduce you as that anymore?
I think Kat's fine.
We're getting rid of the kicking off.
Kicking off with Kat, is she remains.
Is that because kicking off is like, you've already kicked off. Your career is well and truly booming. So you kicked off a long time ago.
Now it's keeping up with Kat.
It's keeping up with Kat. Yeah, kind of, you know, and then nice. Kardashian crossover. I like that. But joining us here on the couch, we've got Danny Pirello. Danny, you might know as a football social media creator, but also popped up on Be In Sports, on SBS, plenty of broadcasts as well, and part of the family here. Danny, welcome to Bournemouth. Are you a debut on Bournemouth?
Thanks, yes. It's my big debut.
It's your debut, huh? Let's hope it's a better debut than, who was it? Woodgate, I believe. Jonathan Woodgate, Real Madrid. Google that. It's the worst debut of history. Own goal, red card, and injury, I think.
Don't worry, it'll be better.
It'll be better than that. It can't be worse than that. Plenty to get through today, but I'm so happy to be joined by two women because it is International Women's Week.
It is.
Mamacitas.
Two mamacitas because tomorrow is International Women's Day.
Wednesday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You see, the pod gets released Tuesday, and Kat, I've been doing this some time. Oh. Some would say I'm a professional, and I know exactly what I'm doing. But anyway, so it is great for me to be joined by both of you. We're going to talk a lot of women's football as well as local game, global, as we always do. Guys, if you haven't subscribed to the pod, what are you doing? Make sure you subscribe, follow us on all socials so you keep up. We also have a special pod dropping this week, speaking specifically local football and the National Second Division. So make sure you keep your eyes out for that one. Let's kick it off, guys, with women's football. You worked on Dubzone this weekend. Mm-hmm. Sydney FC. They beat Western United.
They did.
That was a shock win.
It was a shock win. So it was a top of the table clash.
Right.
I did a live stream or live Instagram with Hannah Keane, who was up until Saturday the top goal scorer in the league. She plays for Western United. She's their first international player as well. She's from the US. And with Mackenzie Hawksby, who is a midfielder for Sydney FC. Right. And it was really fun chatting with them both heading into that game because there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
There was... Sydney FC had two games in hand, though. So, you know, the odds are in their favour in that sense.
Okay.
But 3-0.
Yeah.
Good result.
Great result. And all in the second half as well. So that first half was just pretty much a stalemate. And then before you know it, Sydney FC got the lead.
Is it true the A-League's just rigging this shit so that Sydney win? Is that true? That's what I heard.
I don't know who's telling you that.
I heard a rumour.
You always hear rumors.
Oh, no, they're not rigging. That's an allegation, you know. Don't storm the White House.
There is a story that came out today around Canberra United.
Well, this is the question from Crispy. We know Crispy, big fan of the show, always getting in. He always knows the goss, Crispy. Yeah. Crispy said, the Canberra v Sydney overturn in A-League Women's. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Canberra exceeded their substitution.
In the 93rd minute.
Against Sydney FC.
In the 93rd minute, though, Kat.
I was at a wedding that day.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that game.
So for those at home, Canberra broke a rule. They did, right? We're not condoning it. Canberra broke a rule. They made a substitution that they couldn't make in the 93rd minute of a 94-minute game or whatever. The game. Mm-hmm. The whistle got called right after. Mm-hmm. They beat Sydney that day. That result has been overturned into a 3-0 win for Sydney because Canberra made this illegal substitution in the dying seconds of the game. Mm-hmm. So Sydney now have those 3 points. And then people are coming out saying, oh, it's just when you move the finals to Sydney... You need to guarantee that there's a Sydney team in the finals, right?
Well, Sydney's defense, they've been in the final most years.
Club. Yeah. I'm just trying to stir shit up.
You're doing a good job of it as well.
Yeah.
Look, I think at the end of the day, they obviously took some time to make a decision about this Canberra United situation because this was 3 game weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what they've decided. And at the end of the day, you can't really argue with them. It's the rules of the game.
Yeah.
I know you will try to find a way.
I just like drama.
I live
with the drama, Danny. This is what
it's
all
about. Says that like he doesn't support Sydney FC, but anyway.
I live with the drama.
I saw you at that game over the weekend.
I went to watch good football.
Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't get any.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I, What? I'm being honest.
I'm waiting for you to go and backpedal a little
bit. You know what? I absolutely love watching A-League football. Mm. But I and people don't get this twisted. I support the local game and I love the local game. And I can appreciate great football. And in fact, I took a friend of mine and I took him and he doesn't watch much A-League. And he was sitting there watching the game, knows a lot of football as well. And he said, this is shit.
Yeah.
And I said, this is shit. But it's not shit because the A-League shit. This is shit because you're watching two under par teams at the moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great game. Mm-hmm. It was a big blue. There's a lot on the line. But it wasn't a great game. Both managers, I think, did not do enough to break the game down. Second half, barely had any shots. It was a bit low. However, the night before, I'd watched on telly Adelaide United versus Melbourne City.
Unreal game.
Fantastic
game.
That's two top sides. Even Western Sydney versus Central Coast Mariners. This is now the top end of the table. There's a reason those teams are there. So the A-League is top notch. It's just that those two teams...
Yeah. I've got a question for you both.
Go on.
So over last week, there was a bit of a scandal around critical analysis and punditry around the women's game.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to talk about. We did talk about it on Dubzone, but Riley Dobson, a previous player for Melbourne City and a few other teams, had made a comment. She also played for Newcastle Jets, made a comment about Newcastle Jets kind of analysing their game and had made a bit of a joking statement about it. But ultimately, the point was that the girls didn't perform well and, you know, that they needed to do something about it.
Mm.
And players kicked off. They weren't happy about this. I'm just interested to know what you guys think around how important critical analysis and punditry is in growing the sport.
Well, for those of you who don't know the story, they took puppies out as mascots.
Yes.
Right? So instead of walking out with the little kids, they walked out with puppies. It was cute. It was adorable.
Super cute.
And then the criticism made was those dogs, those puppies, would have done a better job than the 11 players out there. That was the quote.
That was the quote that came from a podcast episode that reviewed the games over the weekend.
Correct.
And I think also important context is that Newcastle Jets lost 6-0 in that game.
6-0, yes.
6-0.
Yeah. Danny... what's your opinion on this? Because we're going to talk about it in a while. We're going to talk about it in a sec. But your team, Manchester United, got fed 7-0.
Yeah, right. I prefer not to speak.
Nah, but we're going to talk about it a lot.
You
Why
have
not?
To speak.
But they got fed. And all you have to do is just open Twitter, open the internet, and you'll see how much they got fed. Now, this is a team that just won a trophy last week.
Yep.
Still, they're getting absolutely annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, okay, it's a bit of a joke. The women have been smashed for losing 6-0.
Yeah.
Then other professional players have come out going against the media saying that's not the way to grow the women's game. That's not the way to talk about the players. Do you see both sides of the story here? Where do you stand?
Look, I do understand both sides, obviously, but I think there's a culture these days of everyone's too sensitive.
Okay.
Mm. And for me, I personally always take criticism. I cop it on the chin.
Mm.
I'd rather you tell me exactly how it is and I progress twofold in less time than beat around the bush and not be honest. Look, like you mentioned, Man United, Roy Keane, an icon, a legend of Man United. Every single time Man United lose or they're not performing to their best, he's the first one to slander and say it how it is. Mm. And it's true. The views are true. But I do agree sometimes there's a better way to deliver the feedback or deliver the criticism.
I found a really interesting point because to answer your question about criticism is so important to grow the game. Conversation is important. Yeah. It's not really about criticism. Conversation is important. If people are talking about the game grows.
Yeah, it progresses, of course.
Exactly. Now, people will not talk about the game if they feel they cannot freely talk about the game.
Yes.
I'm very careful the way I tread around the women's game because I've been told by people who are extremely high up in media and extremely well known. And if I said their name on the pod, every single listener will know the people I'm talking about because they're big names on television. And they've told me, which is sad, I've been told, stay away from the women's game from a pundit point of view because whatever you say, you'll be slammed.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It's sad to hear that they think that as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. And these are huge names and they just told me, look, my advice for you, just stay away from it. But I watch the game and the World Cup's coming up and I'm so excited and I want to be involved. If a player plays well, I want to talk about how good that story is. Yeah. If a player plays shit, I want to talk about how shit that was.
Yeah. You have to be open and free to say how you feel. That's how you critique and that's how you talk about football.
Yeah.
If you can't say the negative, then it's not true.
Yeah.
I think also this is something that we've seen in the men's game and it comes with, like you said, the game progressing and it might be a case of unfortunately offending a couple of people along the way.
Do women take it differently?
Well,
that's I know we're not meant to generalize, but you know, it's not exactly the same. Do women take it differently?
Yeah, I think even like I've had coaches, I've played at a good level, I've played in America, I've played in the NPL here for years.
Mm. And I forgot to introduce you with all
that. I had I'll do it myself. I had so many different styles of coaches.
Right.
Now, if you have a same coach and you put him to a men's team and you put him to a women's team, you've got vastly different
right.
behavioral characteristics that you even and methodologies that you need to apply to those different teams, different genders. Different people take things differently. Mm. Yes, individual characters take things differently, but as well from a gender point of view. Mm. I've had coaches that'd be like, oh, you know, girls, maybe just don't worry about headering the ball because, you know, you're not going to get, you're not going to be an aerial threat. You're not going to, and you're just like, whoa, hang on a sec.
Yeah, yeah. So
like,
you don't want them to undermine you. You want them to treat you.
Yeah.
With, and part of that is getting criticized when.
100%.
Okay. Especially what I found was so interesting about this. It's a former player. Well, it's a female
exactly
former player.
Exactly what I was going to that say. It's the also the there, source of the feedback was from someone who played at that exact team.
Yeah.
Played with some of the players who are still actively playing within that team.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And, you know, she said it. She was on the show on Saturday and said,
"Oh yeah, she spoke about
Okay. And she's fully aware of how it was received by different people, but stands by what she said and thinks that this kind of commentary is really important to see the game grow.
Well, it is. At the end of the day, you got to think, why do you give someone feedback?
Exactly. Well, you saw big players, big names, Katrina Gori, Michelle Heyman. These are big players that have represented our country. They came out online posting Instagram stories about gutter journalism and how bad this is.
Yeah.
Look, I think, I get it, and the players have a platform now with social media, but I think if you're going to be posting stuff like that, don't get upset if people aren't talking about your game.
Yeah, I think
you know what I mean? You can't say not enough media is covering our game, and then when the media covers the game, after a 6-0 loss, mind you.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I play like a semi-pro level of football. Yeah. No one gives a shit about. If we lose by more than, if we lose at all, but if we lose by 3-0 or more, we get fed.
Yeah, of course.
Completely.
And it's like, and we're not even a super, like, it's not really an important level of football.
Yeah, but it's a big football.
Let alone top tier football. Yeah. Doesn't matter, men or 100%. Women, top tier football. Surely the criticism has to be there. Yeah. I don't know.
You've got to take the good with the bad.
And I asked Mackenzie Hawksby, who's Sydney FC player, on that call. Mm. And she, I think playing for Sydney FC, you head into playing for a club like that, feeling a little more accountable to the results, what's expected. You've got a reputation to uphold. Maybe that is the difference for someone like her versus other teams. But she believes that this kind of criticism is really important.
Yeah.
So I do think it's perspective. It's where the criticism comes from. It's all of that. But, you know, Michelle Heyman also scored a hat trick.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. And, she's a beast, and we were talking her up on the show. Like, I think it's just the nature
sometimes
of the game.
Sometimes it's fuel that you need and you maybe don't realize.
Yeah. But for the Sydney FC player, I think it's easy when the league just gives you 3-0 wins for doing nothing.
big storyline
over in the UK is where Arsenal women's beat Chelsea women's in the League Cup final.
Yeah, I saw that.
Big result. Congratulations to Caitlin Ford, Steph Catley, who gets some silverware. Sam Kerr, despite losing, she won enough trophies, let's be real.
Scored quickly.
True.
Scored
exactly.
very quickly
so,
into the game.
Exactly. So that's a massive achievement there for them.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's keep it local. Chat a little bit about the men's. Adelaide United, it was a fantastic game. They beat Melbourne City. Not many people have been able to beat Melbourne City and figure out how to play them this year. Best part about it as well is that Iran Kunda scored again, 17-year-old, his third goal in his last 5 games. And it's hard to stay grounded at that level. His manager, Carl Viet, said, if he keeps working, he keeps his head switched on, has good people around him, he'll go all the way to the top.
Love it.
I like hearing that.
Me too.
Because I think you hear too much. I love seeing even when you heard interviews with Pedri, who played more games than anyone else that calendar year when he was 18. And he said the same thing. He's like, I still got to keep working. He was playing for Spain at the Euros. Yeah. And he's like, I just got to keep working. That's important, right, at this point to keep it. How good? I mean, the question that's come in here is Nestori more deserving of the hype than Kuol? I don't want to compare the two. I don't like that question because I don't want to compare the two. They're both brilliant. But how important is balancing that as a teenager, doing so well, yet keeping your head down and keep working? Because it's easy for him it to get to his head right now, right?
Yeah, you've got to be surrounded by the right kind of people, I think.
And I feel like Adelaide is that right place.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Adelaide's an interesting dynamic too because they're the one team, the one kind of A-League club out of that area.
Yeah.
So they've got the backing of basically the entire state, right, yeah, when it comes to the football. So there's a lot, there's a big reputation to uphold when they're maintaining results like that as well.
No, it's massive from him. It's a fantastic goal. He's definitely got something special about him. As we said, we're going to try to get him on the pod next time.
Yes.
He's in Sydney. We would love to. Danny, with a player like that, though, how long do you wait before you try and make a move to Europe? Like, you look at Garang Kuol, went to Europe without really starting A-League games consistently. Yeah. Would you like to see Iran Kunda be more of a starter before he makes that move?
Yeah, I think so. And that, again, helps with not becoming complacent. Mm. At the end of the day, he's not anywhere near where all his aspirations lie. Yeah. European football, Champions League football, everything that comes at the top height of the game.
Yeah.
Right, so that's going to help with his complacency. Yes, starting consistently every week, obviously.
Yeah.
Just aid your development. But I think don't wait too long.
Yeah, right. Strike while it's hot from a marketing point of view.
But also development. He's still young, right? So if he goes to a major European league and a club with everything's heightened, he's just going to grow. And you're playing with better people as well.
Don't be surprised to see a Socceroos call him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised.
I think it's also really cool to see that the A-Leagues can be a platform to make international football too.
Yeah.
It's not just about finding the guys who have found those European opportunities or whatever. Yeah. Like, you can perform really well in the A-League and make the Socceroos.
It's also interesting when you know, like, these players with their agents and how much that plays a role in it. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing stories about Garang Kuol's call-up and, you know, well deserved. You look at him, he's an absolute talent. Yeah. However, it can play a role, and him getting called up for those couple of friendlies helped him seal that move to Newcastle. Yep. And sometimes managers, international managers, will do that to help the profile of a player, because Garang got called up before his brother, who already had made a name for himself, right, and was much older. So don't be surprised to see something like that play out, where maybe Graham Arnold calls him up to help boost his ego, boost his image a little bit and get a big move. That happened recently, Jackson Irvine. Everyone knows the Socceroos. Did you see Jackson Irvine with Casemiro?
Yes.
Oh, he's like, you play for Australia.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you know,
he's
you've
like,
made it when Casemiro knows
He says, I see you. Imagine Casemiro says, I see you.
I see you. That's it. You play for the national team. Everyone sees you. Jackson Irvine was hanging out with Casemiro at the FIFA Best Awards, taking a photo with him as a fan. Casemiro recognized him as the Australian midfielder.
I love that.
You know, international football, mate, that's the biggest platform you could possibly get. We are going to talk about the national second division, because there's some breaking news coming out of that, and we're quite invested in it, which we know, born offside. But we're going to leave that one for a special pod. We catch up with a super fan, a guy who's an absolute encyclopedia of football at the lower levels of Australia, particularly in the old NSL. So that's going to be an exciting episode. We're going to go to some global news now. I have to do it to you guys. Man United took on Liverpool.
Danny. Let me strap myself in.
Liverpool absolutely battered you 7-0 right now. I saw an interesting stat. Last 8 games at Anfield between those two, 18-1 is the aggregate score. You heard that?
Yeah, I have.
Where'd you hear that?
Last week, I had to do a bit of research.
Oh, really? I thought you heard it maybe on the show, on my show. I dropped the one on my show. That was your chance to boost my ego a little bit.
I'm so close.
Look, 7-0. I want to talk to you as a United fan, because you guys just won the Carabao Cup. You've had a great season. You're in the top four. It seems like United are back.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose that game. Is this just a case of like, okay, we'll be angry for a few days, but really it doesn't change much? Or can this 190 minutes at Anfield destroy all this last 8 months of hard work?
I don't think this 190 minutes is going to destroy it. We have to bounce back quick. Ten Hag's already getting the boys ready for Europa League against Real Betis.
Right.
They have to bounce back. But I'm telling you, the catalogue of defensive errors this morning was...
Luke Shaw.
Horrible.
He looked stinking.
That's just what Anfield does to players.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. Anfield away,
I got one here. Henry Bear says, look at all the Liverpool fans coming out of the shadows. Do you feel like you just
relax?
I'm surprised he didn't throw a Liverpool jersey on today.
Henry?
Henry,
no.
Blocked.
No. Look, the same way United needed to be a little humbled, Liverpool needed a bit of hope.
Well, that's what I want to say. Like, same way that I was just asking Danny whether that 90 minutes has destroyed the rest of the season, right? That's a bit extreme. For you, though, as a Liverpool fan, it's been a shit season.
It's been one of the shittest seasons I can remember in a really long time.
You guys got your ass handed to you by Real Madrid at home, right?
Thank you, yes.
But now, you just beat United 7-0.
Yeah.
Is that like a 90 minutes which almost wipes away all the crap?
No,
or
it
again,
doesn't,
is this just a short hit?
It doesn't wipe away the crap, but it's true. You do need games like this to just feel that momentum again.
Okay.
And I think... you know, as much as we joke about the magic of Anfield, there are plenty of football fans, neutral fans, who will tell you that Anfield experience is wild.
Right.
Like, it's a very special place to play, having been there myself as well. Like, it's a religious experience. Mm. And I can believe a scoreline like that, if it's going to come out of anywhere, it comes out of Anfield.
Yeah.
Right.
And I
What about 2-5? Is that a scoreline you believe at Anfield? 2-5 against Real
Madrid? Shit happens.
Is that a scoreline you believe?
Shit happens.
I'm telling you, whatever they did this morning.
Yeah.
Gakpo
look
like Messi.
Yeah, Gakpo looks
good. I love that footage of Gakpo running and there's a fan hugging him on pitch side. Anyway,
so is this result just a little
It's a little uptick for us to just move forward with a bit of momentum to feel a little better. Klopp said last week top four was still inside.
It is.
Yeah.
Back in the 2020-21 season, you know, we were down like 11th or 7th position or something like that. Don't quote me on this. Not that there's much to quote right now. And then he made it to top four.
Right.
Like, I don't believe think it's completely out of sight for Klopp. And okay. I think this is what we need.
Right.
And it feels good, but I'm not going to be like, you know, the Prem's ours.
No.
We're not going to win the title this year, but we needed a game like that badly.
Right. Could just be just a little bump, you know, just like a small trip to the bathroom with Mitch Nichols. That's a terrible joke. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. Let's go now to, well, actually, another one. Kebabdo on Twitter. I want an apology for Darwin Núñez. The man is a beast. Has he really won you back with those with that double? Is he still?
I think I will always remain a bit more critical of Núñez because I feel like he's had big shoes to fill.
Right. And Firmino's announced
and
that he's leaving.
And now don't
of
talk about
you're
that.
You're cut about that, right? The magic teeth
that
of Bobby
so
Firmino.
That is so sad to me.
Yeah.
Especially after today, just realizing that his time's running out. You really threw a spanner in the way with that one. About to cry.
Yeah, no, I know, Bobby. And it was great to see him score the 7th as well. That was a big moment
for him.
Lucky
number 7.
Liverpool fans love that guy.
We do love him. That's why we're sad to see him go. But Núñez, I don't know. I remain impartial. I'm on the fence with him.
Mm.
He's doing what he should do when he scores. That's why we got
him. That's what it says on the team.
Yeah, that was a really good... I want to ask you this one as a United fan, Danny. It's a question from Joseph K. Asked, how many puppies would have done a better job than Man United at Anfield?
Honestly?
11?
Could 11 squad, puppies... Could the Newcastle puppies have done a better job?
Honestly, yes.
Yeah?
Like, I said it before.
Cancel her.
I'll say it
cancel
again.
Her.
There's not many things in life that make me that angry than conceding the amount of goals.
Cancel her.
In the way that we did.
You're going to get Premier League footballers coming out and tweeting you now because you said that?
Right after Ten Hag's been, you know, whining and dining.
Look, it's
Sir
one.
Alex
we sweep
Ferguson.
It under the rug. Doesn't matter. Next.
Yeah. It was good to see. As I said, it was great to see United fans humbled because it's about time.
How about those Chelsea boys, though?
Yeah, why haven't we spoken about them?
Chelsea finally got a goal and a win against Leeds United. All right, big win. 1-0. Fofana Wesley scores his first goal. Chelsea, what would you even talk about Chelsea? Mid-table? You know what for?
Mid.
It's not really worth talking.
That's right.
However,
mid.
Watch Chelsea turn around and beat Borussia Dortmund at Stamford Bridge. Watch.
Okay.
Watch. Watch it happen.
Is that the official prediction?
But you know what pisses me off, though? You know what pisses me off as well? Apologies to everyone listening at home if your mic's just blew. You know what pisses me off about that, though? Is that the FA in England don't do shit to help their teams in European competitions. You look at everyone else. Bundesliga moved Dortmund's fixture to Friday night. So Dortmund have had an extra...
Yeah, they just aid it, support it.
They always do it. Serie A does it. French League does it. La Liga does it. If they know someone's playing a big game midweek Champions League, they help them move their fixture. The FA are like, oh, the Premier League's the biggest product in the world.
Yeah, that's why.
We don't change shit. Yeah. No English team won in the first leg of the Championship. So the Champions League. So we all know that, like...
There you go. That's a good start.
You know what I mean? So we all know, I would like Chelsea to overturn this and beat Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
But I'm not upset when the English teams get humbled in the Champions League because I don't think they respect the competition as much as the other leagues do.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind if the English
but
teams
bow
out.
But we need the FA to be humbled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it humbling them? Or
smack
are they
smack
still so focused?
Get the Italian teams through. Get the Portuguese teams through. Yeah. They're another one. The Portuguese
Sporting,
teams.
Sporting.
Club, the Portugal.
Do the pastena. Pastena.
Bem, pastéis. You love my Portuguese, huh?
Pastéis de nada.
Pastéis de farina.
They're delicious.
Arsenal won again. Big game. 2-0 down. Stuff of champions. 2-0 down. Come from behind. Score in the 97th minute to win. Arsenal winning the league. Is this happening now?
Yeah.
That looks like a game that to me looks like league winners.
I would put money on Arsenal winning at this point.
Wow. Wow. You don't feel it?
Never say never.
With City.
Sometimes,
You guys are well out of it now. Oh, come on. United are nowhere near winning the league. I know. You got to look over your shoulder now. Fourth place is closer to you.
I know. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. Stav asked, are Arsenal the most clutch team in the league?
Oh. You know, I was going to bring him up.
Yeah.
And say that the reason I think I feel that it's in sights for Arsenal is because I've spent too much time with Nick Stav in the last 6 months. But I think Arsenal are onto something. And I think what Arteta has done is beautiful. And I remember like our first episode of Born Offside.
Mm. We
talked about Arteta and what he'd
and
done with
him.
That squad. And we've backed him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I shouldn't support Arsenal, but I would like to see them.
Over City.
Win for the way that they have performed this season.
Yeah, just get ready for the carry-on from the fans.
Yeah.
Let's talk world-class strikers. Tottenham. Harry Kane, he's only got 15 months left on his contract and they want $100 million to sell him to Manchester United. Now, United could probably just wait a year and get him for free, arguably. However, true. He's not getting any younger. He's no spring chicken.
Do you want him, Danny?
No. Do you want Harry Kane?
No.
You don't want Harry Kane? No. You want Wout Weghorst and not Harry Kane?
Look, I don't think we necessarily need him. Like, right. I know Rashford's a left winger, of course, but, like, he works wonders in front of the goal. Like, I feel like what Ten Hag is doing now is he's building the right strategies and the right methodologies right. to play better. Mm. I don't think we need Harry Kane.
Okay. I think with
call
Harry,
me stupid.
No, that's flip. I think with Harry Kane, you lose 7-2 at Anfield. I think he bags two.
You're still five-goal deficit, Joel.
You're still losing.
No, I know.
Losing.
So Harry, I mean, yeah, if Harry Kane just fizzles out and doesn't win a trophy and stays at Tottenham all his career, will
I
that...
I think it's just strange even for him to come to United. It doesn't. I don't see it.
I don't
work.
See it either.
Him in red doesn't work.
I think
it doesn't seem natural.
It would feel weird, wouldn't it? That first game where he walks out.
I think it's a match made in heaven.
Really?
I've always thought Harry Kane, if Sir Alex Ferguson was the manager at Manchester United, Harry Kane would have gone 4 or 5 years ago. Mm. He would have been such a Ferguson signing.
But see, that would have been different, right? Because he wouldn't be so labelled as this Spurs player.
That's
but had he gone earlier
in
his career,
but even
by
now,
all
even
means.
Now, remember, I'm going to remind you about a man
remind
called
Robin
Van Persie.
Oof, my
Robin,
guy.
Robin Van Persie. You say your guy.
He
was an
cracker.
Arsenal legend.
Mata came from Chelsea as well.
Different. Everyone thought Robin Van Persie, they thought Arsenal, because Robin Van Persie was an Arsenal man. Stayed there so many years through the drop of the Invincibles. Was still there in 2012 scoring goals against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. He was the hero. All of a sudden, 2013, over 30 years of age, he decides to go to Man United. Quick 2 years, wins him a league straight away. That is a Ferguson signing. And that's what I think Harry Kane could be for Manchester United.
He is also
United.
A
look,
fine.
This team, to me, United are building a proper team and all it's missing, Harry Kane joins, wins the Golden Boot, United win the league. I'd hate to see it, don't get me wrong. Like, if there's any, I don't know if there's anything
look,
I can tap.
Look, you're swaying me.
If there's
not
anything I can
swayed,
tap to make sure that doesn't happen, because I'd go into hiding. But this United team is almost there. And if Ferguson was the manager, and that's why you said they're having dinner, Ten Hag and Ferguson.
Yeah, they're having dinner.
A typical Ferguson signing right now would be
time.
Harry Kane. Not Harry Kuehl. Harry Kane. Harry Kane. Because he's experienced in the Premier League. He knows how to bag goals. He's a quick fix. And I could see it happening. 100 million though? Expensive.
Money. All right, let's see. You've swayed me a little bit.
That's what I do.
She's been swayed.
That's what I do. Kylian Mbappe becomes PSG's record goal scorer after scoring against Nantes. They had a tricky affair, 1-4-2.
201, right?
201. He passes Edinson Cavani. To give you an idea about how crazy these numbers are, we compared him to some other world-class strikers. Didier Drogba, in his entire career, scored 209 goals.
Oh, yeah.
Madre mia.
Kylian Mbappe's already on 201.
How old was Drogba when he retired?
35, 36.
Well, Salah got his
at least
highest
more?
Scoring for Liverpool.
Yeah, Salah broke a record as well for
and
Liverpool.
And he's only on 129.
Exactly.
And
this
he's
is
and
an
he's 30
what,
as well.
24?
To be fair, Farmers League. To be fair. You know, Didier left Marseille and went and did it in the Prem. But, however, he will probably leave and do it again in another Farmers League, La Liga. That's not true. It's a great league. 209. Rooney, one of my favourite forwards of all time, 237. Right, Andriy Shevchenko, Ballon d'Or winner, 235.
That's
a joke,
that
isn't
is
it?
Actually nuts.
When you think about it like that, when
and
you
he's 24.
It not only scares you about that, it also scares you about how many goals Messi and Ronaldo scored.
Yeah.
Because we're talking 700, 800, 900. Like they completely smashed all these other guys on the list.
When you compare it like that, it's so like eye opening.
Crazy. And still doing it at that age as well. We know Cristiano Ronaldo just won Player of the Month over there in the Saudi Arabian Pro
Shock.
League. Don't laugh. It's top league.
I didn't laugh.
Number
I just
one league
said
in Asia.
Shocky one player of the month.
Here's a question for you, Danny. How old is this guy?
Oh, I hate these questions.
How old is this guy? There's a photo I'm holding up now. If you're watching on YouTube, this photo will come up.
I feel like you're never winning these games. Show Let's me. Go 28.
How old is this guy?
Give me a closer look.
Now just look at you. Can see, no, come on. No, you need no, Specsavers. No. How old is he?
He is 48.
Yeah?
48. Okay, 28.
He's your type too. His cat's type as well. He's 18. He's 18.
Mentira, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard.
Why would that be a lie?
He's not 18.
He's
18. Look at him. Look at his face.
He's coming across very racist right now. Why is he 18? What? They're typical. He's got to be older than
he's got wrinkles, Claude.
Yeah, he does. But it's just his face. He spends a lot of time in the sun. 18-year-old South Sudan goalkeeper.
He's not 18.
He's playing. He's playing at the under 20s African Cup of Nations. I'm pretty sure
they're going to check it. That doesn't mean he's definitely under 20.
Bro, I'm pretty sure they're going to check it.
I don't believe you.
This guy looks 40-something.
Yeah,
but we're going to drop the photo on screen. But apparently it's just his mature nature, his mature appearance that he's always had. He's always looked older. But they've proved that he's actually 18 years old and he's playing in goals currently at the under 20s African Cup of Nations.
I would be devastated if at 18 someone thought I was 48.
No, yeah. Have you guys seen bench warmers?
Yeah, yeah.
You
I
know
am
when
12?
He opens up the yeah.
It's one of those situations.
Green crayon. I am 12. Come on, bro.
Ah, look, sometimes you got to let kids be kids. He's an 18-year-old kid.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play sometimes, which is what someone sort of told Jose Mourinho. I love Jose.
Oh, he's the best.
I love Jose. And can I just say, what a win against Juventus this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a second. Before that, though, Jose Mourinho, he's in a bit of hot water, right? Because when is he not, right? Yeah. We love him because he embraces all levels of the club. We know when he was at Chelsea, he'd go watch the under-12s sometimes play. He's done that for Roma. He went to watch the under-14s because they were playing Lazio in the derby.
Yeah.
Under-14s. So these kids are 13.
Who did he sign?
These kids are 13. No, it
no,
is.
No, it's better. Listen to
this. These kids are 13 years old, right? Now, he's apparently being criticised because not only did he... Roma won the game, so he obviously did something right. But he was apparently heard booing a Lazio under-14s player.
He would do that.
He's the best.
And towards the dying moments of the game, he told the Roma under-14s to start dropping to the ground and playing injured to waste time. If this isn't the most this elite shithousery from Jose Mourinho for 13-year-old kids,
doing.
I personally think it's only preparing them for real football.
Same.
For the real shithousery.
Exactly.
For it,
yeah. I don't see a problem with it. If you can't cop one boo when you're playing under-14s, how are you going to face the Olympico when it's packed?
That's right. You know? De la capitale.
Exactly.
I like that Jose, he's not ageist.
No.
Nah. Truth he gets all, he got all under-14s boys in the change rooms.
Everyone is the same
to him. That's creepy, Danny. What are you talking about, change rooms?
No.
Under-14s boys in the change
rooms. No, he got them in with the first team. They were taking pictures together.
Taking pictures under-14s boys in the change room, Danny.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Danny's talking about taking pictures of under-14 boys in the change room. You hearing this? I don't know if we can have you back on the pod. That's fucked up. Danny, that's fucked up.
That's slack.
He's got the Jose style shithousery. Just ignore him.
Yeah.
Time waste. Nah.
Respect, man. No, he did. He brought the players in to celebrate with the first graders
as
well.
It's all right when you say it.
It's fine, yeah. It's fine when I say it. It's fine when I say it. You know what's not fine? And lucky this guy wasn't
playing. Pretty much everything we talk about, yeah.
Lucky, well, we have to go offside. That's the name of the pod. Lucky this guy doesn't play for Jose Mourinho. Moise Kean. Roma beat Juventus 1-0 this weekend. Big win. Roma go from losing to dead last, who hadn't won a game.
Cremonese, right. Man. That doesn't happen.
Ridiculous. And then this week they beat Juventus. Credit to them. In the 89th minute, Juventus make a substitution. Massimiliano Allegri puts on Moise Kean.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect on Moise Kean. I've never understood how he's a professional footballer. I've never understood it. That's you know, no disrespect. I personally don't get it.
Fair enough.
I personally don't get it. I've never seen it. You look at his CV, I'm like, how? Whoever is his agent, I want to meet that guy. I want to meet his agent because he's done a great job. Anyway, Moise Kean comes on in the 89th minute. He's on for less than a minute. He doesn't touch the ball, but he gets sent off. Right? So you have to watch
he
this.
Get sent off?
So a ball gets played to him. He miscontrols it as per usual. And then he kicks out at the defender because the defender kind of had a hand on him. And he just kicks out at the defender's legs quite blatantly. Just
you've literally got one job at that point.
Bro, and he got sent off. There was still the whole stoppage time to play at this point, and they're only down 1-0, and he just walks past Allegri. And for those of you watching on YouTube, Allegri's just looking at him, just doing the classic Italian, like, what the fuck did you just do? Just that hand signal.
Che cazzo fai.
Che cazzo fai. Like, look at it. And Moise Kean walks straight past everyone and straight into the dugouts. If I was a manager, or my player does that, I swear you'd never play for me again.
Yep.
It was just stupid. Yeah. Different if, like, you came
it's
on...
It's a one-off or whatever.
Rushed to your head, you dove in late, accidentally stuttered someone, got sent off.
But or it's like a heaps heated game and it's like the last dying seconds and it's 1-1 or something.
He's come on to save something and it was just bottles, a kick-out. He kicked the defender because he was angry that he lost the ball. Oh, my days. Wouldn't play for me again. Watch this space. Let's see what Allegri does. But give yourself a favor and watch that one on YouTube. It was the FIFA Pro Awards.
Yeah.
FIFA Pro, FIFA Best, whatever you want to call it. Producer Shabs has called it the FIFA Pro Awards. I don't think that's what it's called. But, you know,
Producer Shabs
he's smoking that
rules.
Shit again. You know what I mean? It's fine. He does whatever the fuck he wants. The FIFA Best Awards. Any surprises here? Leo Messi wins best player.
Yep.
Is he the best player in the world?
100%.
Is he better than Kylian Mbappe?
While Messi's still an active player doing his thing, Messi is
okay, so it's one of those ones. Like he can smoke cigars and walk 5Ks a game, but because it's Messi, he gets it. Okay. Look, I think it's tricky for Kylian Mbappe because everything he does good, like let's say he goes and carries PSG to a Champions League here, it's going to go down as Messi's Champions League.
Yeah, but you know he'll have his time.
Yeah, you he will have his
exactly
time.
Messi's that, the best. Exactly hands. That. He's got 10 years on.
Messi. He will have his time. Alexia Putellas won best female player. That's an interesting one, isn't it?
No, I agree with it.
You think she's the best player?
100%.
Is she the same? What's the difference?
She's been injured.
Yeah, but As long as she's walking around, she should win it.
No,
she's
the best listen to this. She's not listen even walking this. Around.
34 goals in her last season, domestic treble for Barca.
Yeah, but Barca.
And took them to a Champions League final.
Hey, I've seen Kat play, but Kat can play in that Barca team and still look good.
Fact.
But come on, like she's a technician. She's give her a bit of credit.
Who, Kat or
Puteas?
Why? How did I get looped into this?
But come on, Puteas at the moment.
Don't swear at me like that.
Puteas. Yeah, I'm being a little bit of a putito right now because Puteas at the moment, she's top tier.
Okay.
She's just started back on the ball training again and I reckon she's going to work wonders
in the World
Cup. I think
the problem for like these awards right now is that a lot of people don't feel like she did much the last 6 months.
She was injured for most of
the time. But imagine she got to play injured. In the Euros. Imagine all the other accolades
but
she
does that shit on everyone that played at the Euros.
But it's
like
not
that's such a major tournament.
Should it be based on a hypothetical though?
But it's like that's such a the Euros was such a major tournament for the women.
Yeah.
And a player that didn't even play in it won best player.
But have a look at all the other stuff that she did prior to the Euros as well. Like all counting that season.
Yeah, maybe.
You disagree? You were Puta's big fan the other day.
Don't call me a Puta again. I don't understand. You're sitting here calling me a Puta on my own podcast. I don't understand.
She's getting aggressive. I'm gonna have to jump in there. I get the Puteas hype. I do. Like, I love her. I think she's amazing. You wash your mouth out, girl.
Alexia Puteas.
I like
her a lot. Yeah. She's like what she's done for the game, the hype. That Barca squad's amazing. And like I said, brought up by that Barca squad and the team that surrounds her as well allows her to be that good.
Yeah,
but
of course.
But my issue too is that with the whole Spanish squad situation, she probably wouldn't have even played even if she was fit to play. Like she's rejected Spanish football for the time being because of internal politics. Like there's a lot of stuff going on. And like, I think FIFA would look at this as an opportunity to keep winning her over. Like, hey, we really want you to play in this Women's World Cup, you know?
Okay. So who do you think should have won the Women's FIFA Pro?
I agree with like Beth Mead or looking at what one of these players are doing in the women, like in the
WSL. Same way Argentina dominated the men's, no one would have argued with England dominating the FIFA Best Awards.
I do understand that, but Beth Mead, yes, she got Golden Boot Euros. Yes, she's working wonders in WSL, but not on the same level as what Puteas is doing in Europe.
Okay, that's the last swear word for the pod.
God.
The question for you, Barcelona have scored 89 goals in the league this season, the women, and they've conceded 4. They've won 20 out of 20 games.
Yeah.
They've smashed everyone.
Yeah.
My question for you, how many puppies would it take to stop?
Oh, my God.
That's the last time I bring that up.
It's a big guy, I'm in big trouble.
Scaloni, Wegman, Martinez, Oleksi. That was an amazing award, the Puskas Award that was won by the amputee that scored the amazing scissor
Love
kick.
It.
That was fantastic. And people might sit here and go, oh, you know, it's a sympathy award. It's a fantastic
It's not
goal.
A sympathy it's award, fanta- yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw he was nominated, I thought, okay, sympathy points. Do you know what I mean? When I saw he was nominated, when I saw the nominees, and there's one nominee, amputee, I thought, oh, is this sympathy points? I watched the goal. It's absolutely not. It's a fantastic goal. It's a fantastic goal. And so I think rightfully was awarded that. Fucking look at me with that judging face. What the fuck is that? Like, as if you didn't think that at first. You know? Come on.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Anyway. And also, anyone that didn't watch the FIFA Best Awards, have a look at Martinez.
FIFA Pro.
What did I call it? No, FIFA, according to Shabs. The FIFA Best Awards. Have a look at Martinez's speech when he accepts his award and they ask him who his idol was as a goalkeeper. And he talks about how good goalkeepers are, but how his true idols are his parents. And he explains why.
Oh,
and he starts choking
that.
Up while
did you
he's
cry?
Saying it.
No, don't. Because if you I watch cry, it, I'll cry.
I don't have to disclose that information. I was
for
alone.
Legal purposes.
I was alone in my room watching it. It had been a long day. And maybe I did squirt something. That sounded weird.
Plot twist.
Out of my eyes. Out of my eyes. What out of my eyes! You guys
that's
are fucked
the single
up.
Worst.
You're fucked up.
You guys are fucked up.
That
anyway.
Is the single worst thing that's ever come out of your mouth.
Anyway. Why is the... Anyway.
That
to
be was fair, the worst. There's been some Suthio coming out of his mouth.
Okay. All right.
Those speakers at home, Suthio is dirty.
Ooh. Anyway, just to finish it off, apologies to anyone that's listening on this full blast in their car.
Danny,
you might have to get your speakers checked.
It's worth us highlighting how Danny has the most iconic laugh ever. How many times have we reviewed a Born Offside episode where you could hear Danny laugh?
You can hear Danny in the background.
Distant background.
Just for everyone that's listening to the pod, me and Kat actually have microphones. Danny doesn't have a mic today. Danny doesn't actually have a microphone. This is just her just speaking normally.
Oh,
last one for you. This is a question in from Caleb. Do you eat or drink soup? It's It's a fucking fantastic question, Caleb.
Okay, that depends on two things.
What?
Caleb, you clearly don't cook because if you make a chunky soup, like a minestrone,
right.
You're eating that because you're chewing.
What about like, let's say like a pumpkin soup?
Like just a puree.
You could argue that you're drinking it with a spoon.
I think you're eating it.
I would say eating it because you're using a utensil to do it.
Yeah, true.
If I was from the bowl like that, maybe. I'm not doing
correct,
that.
Correct, correct. So you eat your soup until there's only a little bit left.
Then you hold
your thing up and you drink it?
My parents never let me do that.
Really?
Yeah.
But surely when they left the room.
Manners. No, bad etiquette.
It is bad manners. It is bad manners.
And you just did all that slurp noise on the bottom.
Yeah, just so you guys can...
So you guys hate that.
Oh, disgusting. Oh, so many people just clicked out of the podcast. You could say anything now. No one's listening.
No, I know. Last quick question. Aesthetic Football. Big fan of the pod as well. Big fan of his page. Writes awesome stories on everything football. Would you rather possession-based or counter-attacking football? I think that's a stupid question. But maybe it's not. I mean, I love you. Because surely, if you could win either way, you'd rather your team plays pretty football. No one would want to play counter-attacking.
No. It's not fun.
You'd rather hold the ball and take a piss, yeah?
Yeah.
You've got the ball, you're in control.
Yeah, you'd have to specify. If you ask me, would you rather possession-based draw 1-1 or counter-attacking and win 1-0, I'd rather win, no matter what. You know, I'd do anything to win. But if you're winning either way, you'd all rather win pretty, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Because pretty is superior. Now, that's enough for the pod for today. Before I just say something stupid that probably will happen. Guys, it's been an amazing pod. The best part about it, it's not the end because we have another pod diving into the National Second Division and the history of Australian football. That's going to be a tasty one. We've got a special guest for that one. Danny, thanks so much for filling in for All Our
Techers. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
No worries. It's been an absolute pleasure. Kat, big week coming up. Hey, I saw you, like, you... I mean, you've been on Optus Sport before, but now you're actually on like main channel app Optus Sport.
Doing a couple of days a week there, so that's fun.
Fantastic.
I get to see Claude's second day.
Do you know what I have to say about that?
What?
Do you remember Borat Sajiev's neighbor?
That is going to be so shit.
I get Show O'Clock Radio, she gets Show O'Clock Radio. You remember that one? I get step, he get the step. Fucking Kat's got to stop copying me with shit.
Oh, man.
I get the new iPod. She can not afford.
Hey,
do you remember that one?
Let her have her moment
in the sun. I'm joking.
He's my idol, so I'm just trying to...
Oh, hey, there's no brownie points. You can say whatever you really think.
Let her say what... Let her cook.
It's true. People don't hype up Claude's enough for what he does for Australian football. And he's everywhere.
No,
I'm not
Now you're embarrassed.
It's true. Because Claude's, and it's International Women's Week/Day.
It's all about you guys.
I think it's also worth noting that Claude's is always, he's the first to like give a female an opportunity in football.
That's very true. We're always grateful to you for what you do.
I think that's important.
Come on,
because
guys.
Because women need the backing of men too to be successful.
That's right.
So it goes hand in hand.
Bravo. Don.
Look, let's Don be real. Vito. No one's listening anymore after... After that sound that
Don't
I made,
stop
no one's
doing
listening.
It.
No one's listening anyway. But thank you so much for whoever did stick around through it. If you do, if you are still here, you probably need to seek some help because you probably like that sound. Thanks so much for joining us on Born Offside. Make sure you're following everything, subscribing. You know the drill, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.